Sunday night, on my way to Bailey's for our adventure to Starlight. Jess is doing her own thing tonight. I'm pretty sure she's fucking some AOL chick she met online. But the steady stream of Klonopin, weed, and red zin, and the fact that I'm about to hit an underground sex party tripping on ecstasy, has me convinced that I don't really give a shit. Out the cab, and up 6 flights of stairs, huffing and puffing as I light up a joint, feeling nervous, but excited, and horny. The anticipation of titillation, it's like a drug, and it's all I can think about. 6B at the end of the hall, a Spider-Man decal on the door, it's ajar, I walk through. Bailey shirtless and beaming, gives me a kiss, full on the lips. A lithe mulatto with tight curls atop a freckled head is lying on the bed. She's wearing a sweater that hangs off her bare shoulders. No bra, tight jeans, high-heeled boots. An aura of sexual energy pulsating around her, caressing everything in the room. Gemma's her name. She's Bailey's primary lover. We've never met, but we're about to. She smiles at me with lingering eye contact.
It's such a pleasure to finally meet you.
She slides down off the bed, then floats over to Bailey. They hug, stare deeply into each other's eyes. But then I start feeling antsy. Ask Vanna if I can buy a vowel. Bailey smiles, grabs a baggie full of E from a coffee can in the freezer. Gemma and I each take half. Bailey opts out, his usual MO. Time to go. We get out of the cab. Bailey leads the way, around the side of a boarded up building, through a narrow alley out back. Can't tell if the pounding in my chest is from the music seeping past the plywood, or if it's my heart trying to escape my body. A rusty door swings into the dark, dark like the back of my childhood closet. I cross the threshold, and my eyes start to adjust. Robots raping drag queens projected on the ceiling. Beat-up leather couches splattered with neon paint. A spiky-haired DJ spinning electro. Bailey, Gemma, and I grab a couch in the corner. We sit, gaze out into the sea of queers. I watch a man dressed as a woman dancing with a woman dressed as a man. I watch a tall, lithe vampire sweeping in and out of the room. I watch a skinny twink wearing nothing but a chain and a pair of handcuffs. And out of the corner of my eye, I watch Gemma and Bailey watching me. Gemma leans over and asks if I want to split another pill. I'm starting to feel slightly ill, but I'm still not rolling, so I nod yes. She smiles, bites one in half, moves in to pass it from her mouth. Our eyes locking, heart racing. First roll washes through me, like speeding up a hill on the street, then backing off the gas as you come down off the peak. My stomach's up in my ears. Oh yeah, now I'm feeling it. I grab Bailey's arm. I need a drink. He takes my hand. Gemma grabs my other one. They lead the way through the crowd, right up to the bar. Bailey orders me a gin, straight up, then just stands there, smiling.
You're gorgeous. You know that?
He's studying my face. Looks over at Gemma.
You two look alike. Long,
swaying back and forth, feeling the music, feeling everything. I gaze over at Gemma.
Yeah, wow, we do look alike. I could see myself when I look at you.
She leans in, looks deep into my eyes.
Well, maybe that's why we're all here. To help you see yourself.
Bailey smiles at me, then kisses Gemma. Tender, slow. His hands sliding around to the small of my back. Gemma's fingers running through my hair. But then the room starts spinning. Dizzy. Bailey squeezes my hand.
You're okay, darling.
Passes me his water.
Let's head downstairs.
The stench of smoke and fresh cum. I'm standing off to the side of the room, next to Bailey. Watching. Gemma's lying shirtless on the bed, making out with two women, while a man wearing a glitter strap-on massages their feet. Then a tweaker with a fauxhawk sidles up next to Bailey. He reaches out, grabs the back of Bailey's head, and kisses him. Biting his lip, then pulling back, teasing, back and forth, back and forth. I can feel the heat from their body, the smell of their sweat, the sound of their stubble chins. I glance at the bed, a mass of flesh heaving up and down, up and down. Naked flesh writhing, tongue exploring, fingers fondling, my insides roaring, moans, mouths, pussies, cocks. The music, the moaning, rolling, rolling. Head spinning, jaw clenching. Need Jess, can't find Xanax. Need air. I run out the door, through the alley toward the street, fall back against a thrift store window, whip out my cell.
Hi, you reached Jess. I'm unable to come to the phone right now, but if you leave a message, I'll get right back to you. Hi, you reached Jess. Hi, you reached Jess. I'm unable to come. I'm unable to come. I'm unable to come. I'm unable to come.
The next day, I'm sitting in our home office, trying to lay down some new tracks. But I can't seem to find my flow. I have no idea where I want to go. So I'm just sitting here, listening to the same beat, over and over, stuck on repeat. My cell phone rings. It's Jess. I pick up.
Hi.
Hey, I'm finishing up at work here, but I'm not really ready to come home yet. I think I'm gonna head downtown for a walk.
She keeps talking, but the computer screen grabs my attention. Smudged fingerprints and dried streaks of window cleaner. Everywhere. Then suddenly, I'm back in bed. The pillow's over my head. And Jess's alarm clock's going off. It's 6:15 this morning. She's asking me if I have plans later. I can barely formulate a sentence, but manage to eke out, no. Then she tells me she wants to stay in with me tonight, order Chinese and watch a movie. I distinctly remember her saying this.
Dee, are you there?
Yes.
I pull my sweatshirt cuff over my fist, start attacking the smudges on the computer screen, a fiery pit of venom simmering in my stomach.
What about the plans we made this morning? You said you wanted to stay in tonight.
Yes, let's. I just need to get some air, all right? I'll be home in an hour.
77 minutes later, the entire house is now spotless. No sign of Jess. No phone call telling me she's running late. My insides are now seething. I light up my second joint, pop two more Klonopin. She's hooking up right now. She's totally hooking up right now. And I'm trying not to think about it. But I'm doing nothing but thinking about it. 53 minutes past the time she said she'd be home, I'm rearranging the contents of our medicine cabinet when Jess finally walks through the door, acting like nothing's wrong. She pops her head into the bathroom to kiss me, but I can't even look at her.
What's happening?
She's standing there with a bag of food in her hand.
Nothing. I'm organizing the medicine cabinet.
And you don't want to kiss me?
Nope.
I start lining up all the medicine bottles labeled out, in order of potency. Xanax, Vicodin, Klonopin, Ativan. I can see her getting pissed out of the corner of my eye. Her face flushed, her chest heaving.
What's your fucking deal, Devin?
What's your fucking deal, Jess?
Are you serious right now?
Yes, I'm fucking serious. I can't deal with this. I can't handle an open fucking relationship right now.
She walks over to me, reaches out to try and hold me, but I shove her back.
Here, eat. I picked up Chinese, just like we planned.
She tries to hand the dinner bag to me, but I rip it away, throw it across the room.
I don't give a fucking shit about your goddamn food. I don't care about food right now.
She stands back, just stands there as I collapse onto the bed.
I can't handle this. I can't deal with all these feelings.
I whip the covers over my head and scream at the top of my lungs.
Fuck you!
It's fucking 2 days later, and she's out again, heading to another fucking bar, looking for another fucking trick. I wish she never entered my life. I wish we never met. I can't handle this right now. I don't know what to do about all this rage, all the pain inside of me. I can't make it through this. I can't be here when she gets home this time. I gotta get the fuck out of here. Now! I pop 3 Klonopin, grab my cell, my mini Bic, and the nearest roach I can find. Then I storm out of the apartment, down the sidewalk, light up, and call Rachel.
Hey, Bizarre.
I'm losing my shit right now. Where are you?
On the train back to the city. My sister's driving me crazy. Remind me never to visit her again. You okay?
No, I'm definitely not okay.
Oh my God, what's going on?
I start pacing back and forth on the sidewalk. Tell her how Jess is out again after work, even after my freakout the other day. How I started seizing up right away. How I had to get out of the house. How I wanted the apartment to be empty when she finally does walk through the door, so she can feel all lonely and jealous, wondering where the fuck I am.
Take a breath and calm down. You need to calm down.
I can't calm down. That's why I called you. You have no idea what kind of shit I'm feeling right now.
Sure I do.
No, you don't. You haven't seen this side of me.
I think you're being too hard on yourself.
Did you not just hear a word of what I just told you? I'm a fucking monster.
Your creative personality. Creative people are emotional.
This is beyond emotional. This is rage.
Look, you're gonna get through this.
Rachel keeps talking, but static cracks in my ear. And then the line goes dead. A beat later, my phone starts ringing. Jess flashes on the caller ID. I stop pacing, suck in a giant breath, hold it in for a beat before answering.
Hey.
Hi, baby. Where are you?
I'm out.
Having fun, fucking around, getting laid. At least that's what I want her to think.
Where are you?
I just got home.
Well, I'll see you when I see you then. Don't wait up.
I snap my cell phone shut, smirk proudly to myself. Keep walking when my phone rings again. It's Rachel calling me back.
We hit a tunnel. What's going on?
Jess just called. She's home. Wanted to know where I was. Sounded upset. My plan worked.
Are you going back?
Yeah. But I wanted to stew in her own shit for a while.
23 minutes later, I walk through our apartment building's front door, careful to close it silently behind me. I climb the stairs, slow, quiet, sneak up to our front door, gently slide the key in, convinced I'll catch her chatting on the computer. The door swings open, and I look over to see a hand leap up from the mouse. I hear the AOL voice say,
"Goodbye."
Her skirt's hiked up, panties down around her ankles.
Nice.
I walk into the kitchen to find ramen noodles overboiling on the stove. 8 seconds later, Jess breezes in.
Everything's turning to shit.
I'm just standing there, watching the waves of frothy bubbles, rising up to the pot's surface, cascading off the rim, then leaping down onto the sputtering gas flame below.
I just need some fucking space right now.
She shuts off the burner, then splashes her soup into a bowl and heads back into the office, slamming the door behind her. Stray noodles splayed out on the stovetop. Yellow drops of broth rolling down the side of the counter onto the floor. I don't care that I just caught Jess having cyber sex. And I don't care if she's banging every soft butch in Park Slope. All I care about is the mess in the kitchen and cleaning everything up before my fucking head explodes. Two days later, I'm sitting here clinging to my beer in a booth in the back. The bar's packed. Numb. Just staring down at the ashtray. Jess is sitting across from me, chain smoking, looking around at everyone in the room. Everyone except me. A basket full of bread arrives. We start picking at it. In between the butter and the crumbs, there's nothing but silence.
Say something. You never fucking talk. You're always staring off into space these days.
I don't know what to say. I have no idea where I stand. I can't see clearly in any of this.
She's staring down at her cigarette box, flipping the lid open, then closed. Open. Closed.
Well, you're sure as fuck never gonna see anything clearly if you're not willing to look.
She lights another cigarette, blows the smoke out the side of her mouth.
Oh, and P.S., all those pills you've been popping lately aren't gonna make anything more clear.
She doesn't say anything else. Doesn't even bother touching her main course, which is now sitting in front of her. I have also, apparently, ordered a double gin, which I immediately kick back. If I could chase it with a joint, I would. But I can't. So I just stare down through the empty glass at the vinyl tablecloth instead, prepping myself for what she's about to say next. It's the one thing I can see clearly right now. She's staring down at her cigarette box again, flipping the lid open, then closed. Open. Closed.
I'm sorry, but I just can't do this with you anymore. I'm in love with someone else. This is over.